Coming up on Come Receive the Light.
Life is hard, Father. No one will tell you otherwise. But it was my faith that helped me stay positive during the darkest moments of my life, and there were quite a few.
Our featured guest today is an author and a teacher, and he's lived in the United States for many years. But he grew up in the Arcadia region of Greece, and he has some wonderful memories of his parents and his family life, and specifically those values his parents communicated to their children, and how those values have molded and shaped who he is today.
I stared at the bleached mountains that surrounded the village like a fortress, and I felt I had a purpose, to try to be as good as my parents. This is one of the reasons I wrote my autobiographical novel, Arcadia, Marcadia, to honor the humble people of the world like my parents, to celebrate their traditions and to extol their values.
Well, thank you again for joining us here on Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and we always appreciate the fact that you take just a few minutes out of your very busy schedule and spend those minutes with us. We are a weekly broadcast presented by the Orthodox Christian Network and can be found on the web at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. In addition to hearing from our featured guest, we're also going to present another short devotional on the sixth Sunday of Lent, and that will feature Metropolitan Tikhon. Before I get into that, let me ask you a quick question. What are you doing to grow your church, to grow your parish? Well, Come Receive the Light has a number of ideas, and you can find them all on the website, again, at myocn.net. There's nothing more important than sharing with as many people as possible the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the local church is the primary tool in that process, and we want to help you and your church communicate the gospel message. Again, go to the website MyOCN and find out more. Well, with our final installment, devotional installment in the Lenten series, here's our host, Father Chris, speaking, as I mentioned, with Metropolitan Tikhon.
Ladika, let's speak about Palm Sunday and its significance to all of the people.
Well, certainly Palm Sunday is one of the great feasts of the liturgical calendar, and in reference to the subject we've been speaking about over the past few weeks, the benefits of church attendance, and also particularly for our children. Palm Sunday, of course, is a feast where our children are highlighted, in a sense, with their crying out with joy to the Lord as He enters into Jerusalem, and really reminding us of our true purpose as Christians, which is to praise God in our hearts and not to become entangled in the thoughts of our minds. And I think that's the modern research perhaps is showing what the church has known all along, that it is when we get ourselves caught up in our own thoughts, that we sometimes miss the reality of the kingdom of and we don't see Christ when He is even right in front of us, and the children, of course, with their purified hearts, offered that praise to the Lord, but the scribes and the Pharisees and all those around, who were in a sense caught up in their own thinking and self-righteousness, did not see the Lord either on this occasion or on the many other occasions in the scriptures where we see that played out, where it's really those who have been broken and are truly seeking Christ that see Him and hear His voice and are healed by Him, and it's those who are blind to that miss all of that. So certainly this feast is a great inspiration to all of us, especially as we've journeyed through Great Lent, through the all the fasting and hopefully more attendance at the extra services, the liturgy of the pre-sanctified gifts, the Akathist, the canon of St. Andrew, all of those services that really are preparing us for this specific journey, the entrance into Jerusalem, which of course leads to that greatest of all weeks of our liturgical life, is Holy Week.
This is also the time that we see many people we haven't seen in a while. And we call them, I heard one pastor refer to them as CEOs, Christmas and Easter only people. And I'm real careful about using that term, because I hope and pray that even those who are, because of busy schedules or because maybe God is not a priority in their lives, that when they do come for Palm Sunday and they see all the people that are here, they join with our family of worship, that they will see the blessings of being involved here in the church. So I wonder, Vladika, if you could speak to those people who just have been able to find this time to come for Palm Sunday, and to encourage them to become active in the church and to become people who actually follow Christ all the days of their lives.
Right. That's certainly something we all need to be reminded of as well. That obviously we can't restrict our liturgical life to even simply Sunday, but there's such a wealth of opportunities for us as Christians to join in prayer and worship and to make use of the beautiful hymns of our church. So certainly those who come perhaps more infrequently, this Feast of the Entrance into Jerusalem is a wonderful introduction, as is, of course, the Feast of Holy Pascha and the Nativity, all of those great feasts that perhaps those that attend less frequently may participate in, but not the rest of the year. So I think in general it's a wonderful way. Palm Sunday, in a sense, introduces us to the daily need for us to worship our Lord, because we Palm Sunday is a specific day, but then we begin that very specific each day. Holy Monday and Holy Tuesday and Holy Wednesday brings us ever more fully into the mystery of our Lord's Passion. And we see that throughout the year, even in the week before Palm Sunday, where we have the week leading up to the raising of Lazarus. Every day in the liturgical cycles, you have hymns that speak specifically about that day. On Monday, Lazarus dies, and then he's laid in the tomb. And each of the hymns that we pray together in church speak about those specific moments, and lead us from the final Sunday of Lent to Palm Sunday, and then we go into Holy Week. So it really again brings us into that richness of our liturgical life, and I think that's something that it would be wonderful if everyone could hear those hymns and have that opportunity to partake in that liturgical life on a daily basis, which of course may not be possible outside of a monastery, but mm-hmm. it is something that we could strive for, to at least make that effort in our own families, in our own homes, to connect ourselves to the hymns of the church, and then to introduce ourselves every day to that rich liturgical tradition.
Let me finish with, as we've done the other Sundays we're with, Vladika, and let me read from one of the hymns of the Great Vespers of Saturday evening, just prior, of course, to the Feast of Palm Sunday. Today the Word and co-eternal Son of God the Father, whose throne is the heaven and whose footstool is the earth, humbles himself and comes to Bethany, seated on a dumb beast on a foal. Then the children of the Hebrews, holding branches in their hands, praise him, saying, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Thank you so much.
Again, this was our sixth visit with Metropolitan Tikhon on this subject of Lent. And you can find all of those visits when you go to the website at myocn.net and click on the Come Receive the Light link. Each of our broadcasts from the past are archived there, and you can go back each week and listen again. We also have a number of resources that you can access through our web store on the website. that will help you in your spiritual growth and specifically deal, many of them specifically deal, with the subject of Lent. Just click on the web store link, again on the homepage at myocn.net. And remember, we are a nonprofit outreach and do depend very much upon your prayer support and your participation financially with us. There are a number of suggestions on the website for how you can become a financial partner. Click on that Donate Now link and perhaps become a Share the Light partner, an individual who commits to a certain level of giving over the next 12 months. Again, the website is myocn.net. And now with our feature conversation for this week, here again is our host, Father Chris.
We welcome to the program today Nikos Kokonis, an Orthodox author. Books are Arcadia, Maya Cardia, and Out of Arcadia. And he's here to talk with us today about his personal journey of faith. Welcome, Nico, to the program.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for the honor of having me as a guest.
Tell us a little bit about your early years. I mean, you came from a very devout Orthodox family.
Father, I was raised in a humble Christian household in a small Arcadian village of about 230 people. Chickens and pigs ran through the streets, and the boys played soccer in the alleys with a makeshift rag ball until the rags came loose. And so as such, I grew up fast. A poor child grows up fast, but an Arcadian child even faster. If you are poor and you have a slice of fresh bread, it is the best of life. You need nothing more than the prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, give us our daily bread," has meaning. At night, Father, I remember I was sitting on a limestone boulder that stood by the entrance of the house, and it was smooth from generations of use and looking as if it had been there ever since the creation. Sitting there, I listened to stories at night that my family and others shared with each other. The wonder of one particular night has remained clear in my memory. Would you like me to share that with you, Father?
Sure, please do.
It was late, I remember, very late at night, one July, and the stars looked as if they had come down a little bit closer to us. My grandfather took his turn, and he told the story of two men. He said one was blind and the other could not walk. They were working together. The blind man carried the crippled man on his back. One had feet, the other had eyes. One day they met a lion. The blind man just threw the crippled man away and he ran. The crippled man was killed by the lion because he could not run. The blind man because he could not see. When my father finished the story, he turned to me and said, "Nikos, my child, we must all live together. We must stand by each other. The whole purpose of the Christian faith is in this community." That was a great message for me, Father.
Sure it was. Sure it was. That's a great story. I'm going to use it with my children. That's a beautiful story.
Thank you, Father.
Tell us, obviously, your father and your mother had a lot to do in shaping your life, as you said, a simple beginnings to life. Tell us about father and mother's role in that, in your own faith and your walk.
Father, I think their faith has contributed immensely to the shaping of my own faith. Like his own father, my father was a small farmer and an itinerant peddler. He peddled his produce in the neighborhoods of Tripolis and the surrounding villages. And my mother was a flower and vegetable seed seller on the sidewalks of town. They were quiet about their faith. But their faith was evident in whatever they did and the decisions they made. Like most parents in the village, my parents had expectations of good behavior and taught us children by example. They extolled the importance of obedience and respect and showed the benefits of practicing responsibility, discipline, and courtesy, just doing for others what we would want it done for us. They taught me caring and gentleness. And especially my mother, she introduced me to church as an acolyte when I was in first grade. And in time, I learned to assist the priest throughout the liturgy and even climb the 30-plus steps to the belfry to ring the bell several times during the liturgy. and also on Saturday evenings for the Vesper services. And I remember something very clearly when I climbed up there. I could see my parents working in the ancient Arcadian hills and waved at them. And like the farmers in the Jean-François Millet painting, they are jealous. My parents paused from their work, looked up in the direction of the steeple, and crossed themselves. I stared at the bleached mountains that surrounded the village like a fortress, and I felt I had a purpose, to try to be as good as my parents. This is one of the reasons I wrote my autobiographical novels, Arcadia, Marcadia, and Out of Arcadia, to honor the humble people of the world like my parents, to celebrate their traditions, and to extol the values they nurtured in their own children, values which have sustained me and my generation, Father.
I know that. let's go back a minute and travel with me, and we can travel with our listeners back to your village. You explained to me, as I heard someone speak the other day, about the soccer ball that was made from rags. Sometimes it was a large sock that people would continue to put rags into, or rags together tied. But there was more to it than that, isn't there? It was the village itself, the people in the village, the extended family. What did it mean as a child to you to grow up and to be Orthodox within that city?
Father, there was the teacher and there was a priest in the village and the parents and the grandparents. We had no other way but just to be good. This is what we grew up for, just to be good to each other, to get to have good deportment. And I remember my father and mother emphasized this so much that I don't want to talk too much about myself, but neighbors would say to their own children, be like Nikos. It came easy with me because I remember I would study in the patio of my house and stare out at the steeple of the church because the church was only two houses away. That was my image to this day. I mean, the church. My teacher would ask me to just join him and chant along, stand before the altar and just recite the Lord's Prayer and the Creed. And so that was, and also be the reader. Those messages from the books that I read and the interpretation of the epistle that we did every Saturday in school, all those messages got into me. They gave me nurturance. They gave me encouragement to just be good, because being good was the best way to get out of the poverty that gripped us and threatened us every day.
So would you say that it was life there, it was the teachings, it was the individuals who, I mean, those sacred images that you were able to have in your lives that was important? Was it any one specific, or was it all that wrapped together?
It was all together. It was the simple messages of the parents and the profound messages that came from the books that we studied, the epistles, the teacher's interpretation of the parables. It was those two things, those two sources. One was practical, very simple, be good, and the other was a little bit more deep, more profound, it asked for reflection.
Okay. And when did you come to the United States?
I came to the United States when I was 21 and a half years old.
Mm. So talk to us about that transition now. You have the village, and then you come to the United States. Where are you living now?
Now I live in a suburb of Chicago, northern suburb of Chicago.
Okay.
In a coach house just behind my daughter's house. We have three daughters and nine grandchildren.
Oh my!
And one of the daughters asked my wife and me to just sell our house and just live with them in a little coach house in the back of their own house.
Mm-hmm.
And my life as an Orthodox Christian in America has been interesting. Throughout my sojourn as immigrant, God has been a God of surprises for me. Many times, and I struggled quite a few times, when I made a pronouncement or a plan, God showed me even a better way. Faith has gotten me through rough times. Life is hard, Father. No one will tell you otherwise. But it was my faith that helped me stay positive during the darkest moments of my life, and there were quite a few.
Mm-hmm. So was it a big transition for you to go from being a Greek Orthodox Christian in Greece to being a Greek Orthodox Christian here in America, or was it an easy transition for you?
It was very easy, Father.
Really?
I never listened to messages that came from the outside, messages of atheism as I was when I was in college. I was exposed to many liberal views, but somehow I felt anchored in my faith. I did not feel threatened by anything, no, because I breathed those messages of Christian Orthodoxy. As a child, I had a safe rudder inside me, so I never felt threatened. But there were moments when my faith was challenged, because as a young immigrant with no help here, no money, it was very hard to survive, especially during the first couple of years in America. And I remember one of the moments that I remember, very critical moments, when was in October of 62, when President Kennedy came on the radio to talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis. I was penniless in Chicago, nearly paralyzed by the threat of deportation because I had not paid a long-standing overdue bill, and my future was hanging upon a silken thread. So not knowing what to do, I remember that there was a good man with roots in the village, and that man was George Prassas. He was the developer of the A&P stores and one of the founding fathers of the St. Andrew Church in Chicago. So I walked into his office. I asked his secretary if I could see him. And when I was allowed to do so, I explained to him what my problem was. I said, Mr. Prassas, I have this overdue notice, collection notice, and if I don't pay it within a couple of days, they threaten to deport me. And he says, how much do you owe them? I said, $115. And he asked me a few more questions about my life in the village. He told me about the school that he and others in America had sent money for it to be built, and all of that. And then he asked his secretary to write a check for me in the amount of $150. Hmm. I stood up. And I said, Mr. Prassas, it is 115, sir, not 150. He looked me straight in the eye and said, do you mind having a few extra dollars in your pocket?
And, amazing story, huh?
Oh, yes.
Amazing
and then
story.
When I left, he put his hand on my shoulder like a good, loving father and said, my child, all that counts in this world is grace and clarity and charity. Hmm. So I never thought such people existed. That was a very moving moment for me in my life. Mm-hmm. And then the other moment, good moment, it was a strong moment. It was when I met, that was a year later, when I met my wife and her good Christian family. And then I knew right away that, like my parents, I was blessed enough to start a good family of my own at the age of 23.
Well, your stories are remarkable and obviously real, and that makes it all the more important in speaking to you. Let me ask you this question. What do you see now as the most challenging aspect in being an Orthodox Christian here in the United States of America?
Father, you live in a society that seems to be becoming more and more narcissistic and self-centered, more vain and greedy. I see the basic civility to be eroding. The basic things that my mother and father used to teach us when we were just young kids playing soccer with a ball of, made of rags. I don't know. I wonder many times. This is the number one concern of mine. Have we forgotten what really counts in life? Have we become fixated on the externals? Have we become strangers to our own inner needs, the spiritual needs? Do we forget that Rome collapsed because they lost faith? And I worry about the kids and the grandchildren. Are they going to stay within their faith, or are they going to be to deviate more and more? Because we live in a pluralistic society. There are so many messages. There is a chaos, cultural chaos, that surrounds them. So that's my primary concern. So teaching them our traditions, teaching them the Greek language, teaching them the morals that come from the Gospels and the Epistles, all of those things are important, and I try to impart them with them. So it's a challenge. It's a very challenge. Living in a small village in Arcadia was very easy to grow up because you didn't have all those conflicting messages. Mm-hmm, you didn't have anything to threaten you.
That has to be it, too. Those conflicting messages
are
obviously conflicting to the human being, and it causes
to the human being, yes.
Sure it is, sure it is.
And the young child is tempted and confused.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more difficult to grow up in America today. In this pluralistic society that seems to be changing so rapidly and becoming more and more self-centered.
Well, you sound like someone who's very grounded, and that's a blessing to speak to someone like you. I'm wondering if there are issues or questions that you have that you struggle with when it comes to your faith now, even though you have this tremendous background.
No, Father. I must say humanity concerns me. I ache for humanity, but I personally do not. I find enough satisfaction in doing some acts of charity because I was blessed to have so many people planted in my path to help me lay my burden down. So my wife and I do as much as we can. When we visit Arcadia every summer, we visit the Casio nursing home in Tripolis. We go, we bring them sweets and we chat with them. Here, we also go to the hospital. We provide syringes and all that they need. We give some to Salvation Army. We help the nursing home here in Wheeling. We donate the goodwill industry. We do whatever it is. And that gives me pleasure. It gives me satisfaction because society, the world has given so much to me, and I must return something back to them. So, no, I don't feel threatened. I do not allow any deleterious messages to come to me. I know who I am. I know what it means to be Greek Orthodox, and I don't need to explore other avenues of faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could talk all day, Nico. I really enjoy speaking with you. Just a couple of final things. As we approach Pascha, Easter, what are you reflecting on? What does Pascha mean to you?
Oh, Father, that's a wonderful question. Because I remember every Easter, my mother and sisters would just clean the house to prepare for the holiday of holidays, Tineorton, Neorton. So with the coming of Easter every year, I reflect on family. Pascha to me means blooming daffodils, nature singing God's praises. It means a new page in the book of life. It's a very exciting time of the year for me. And I always remember a verse from the Bible, which has been with me ever since the mayor drowned in our well, and my father became desperate, and I promised that I would go to America and help him. And the verse is this, Father, behold the birds of the sky, that they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more of value than they are? And this message has been holding me up, especially during hard times, because then I hope against hope. Everything seems to be conspiring against me and tells me to quit. But then I hear hope whispering to me, never, never give up. Remember the birds of the sky, they never do. And that has been with me ever since the mayor drowned in the well.
Nico, it's been an honor to talk to you today, and I hope we'll be back on the program again soon. Keep writing your books. You're doing a great job.
Father, thank you very much for the honor of listening to me.
What a privilege to be able to talk with all of the guests that we do here on Come Receive the Light and to share them with you. And we're only able to do that because you tune in and you listen, but also because so many of you help support this outreach. This is Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Thanks, as always, to Ann Dankert, our executive producer, for her help. And speaking of help, please share the fact that Come Receive the Light is on the air with your friends and encourage them to listen and let them know about myocn.net, our website, myocn.net. Join us next week, and remember to always have faith in what you listen to.